I hope you guys realize how blessed you are. Not only do you get one day to celebrate All Saints Day, but you get two. You get Sunday and Wednesday. I mean, I could celebrate All Saints Day probably half the days of the year. That's a wonderful, blessed opportunity to gather and to sing God's praises, to sing some wonderful hymns. The hymns of the church for All Saints Day are amazing. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. They're comforting. And that's really what the Day of All Saints is about. It's about giving comfort to God's people and assuring them of the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to life everlasting with Jesus Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. This night we celebrate the Lord's Supper with setting 4 of divine service, saying number 4, page 203. Our opening hymn will be 904. Let us begin with prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise You for the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, the great cloud of witnesses that we will join. We will join perhaps this side of the last day, but we definitely will with them be raised up from our graves, with them to see You face to face in eternal life forever. We beg You, O Lord, that You would be with us as we commemorate, as we remember all the saints. We beg You, O Lord, that You would continue to keep us in their company this day and every day. In Your holy, Your precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 904. Court of Worship, Divine Service, setting number 4, page 203, page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and in praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that, together with them, we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. First lesson for All Saints Day comes from the 7th chapter of the Revelation to St. John. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn to the words of the gradual. We speak them together. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The epistle lesson comes from the 3rd chapter of St. John's first letter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the Alleluia and verse.
Thank you.
the fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard the words of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Maybe seated for the hymn of the day, number 676. 676. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Many people love to think of Jesus as a great moral teacher, but they fail to see how his teachings often make no sense according to human understanding. Jesus' teachings often offend our ideas of morality and common sense. For example, proverbial wisdom tells us that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And yet Jesus teaches that the kingdom of heaven is like a shepherd who abandoned 99 sheep to go look for one that was lost in the bush. He's got to be the worst shepherd ever. And again, Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is like a sower who scattered his seeds on rocks. There's no farmer in Nebraska who's doing that today or anytime. Or how about a business owner who pays all his employees exactly the same wages to the people who came at the beginning of the day and the people who came right before it was time to write the paychecks? Not only is this bad business sense, it seems unfair. In fact, the whole kingdom of heaven, as Jesus describes it, seems to be upside down. It makes no sense at all. The rich are sent away empty. And Jesus says that the really wicked people, like the corrupt Wall Street bankers and the prostitutes, will get into the kingdom of heaven first. Isn't this upside down? And in Jesus' most famous teaching, his Sermon on the Mount, from which our gospel lesson is taken, we find that things are no different. In the Beatitudes, Jesus describes his saints, and we find that everything about his description is the opposite of what we would expect. According to our worldly ideas of spirituality, according to every concept of what makes a saint, it would seem that Jesus has everything wrong. It's all backwards. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, we've heard this scripture so many times that it may have lost its shock value, but consider what Jesus said. You see, everybody wants to be rich in spirit. Even atheists will say, "I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual." And every religion gives us a path, every other religion in the world gives a path to higher spirituality. Follow these steps, live this way, and you will be more spiritual. And often we Christians fall right in step with this worldly idea. And so our bookshelves are full of self-help programs to help enhance your spirituality. Our bookstores are full of books that promise to help you grow spiritually, to make you a spiritual giant. How about this title? Become a Better You, Joel Osteen. A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment, or Spiritual Growth, Being Your Higher Self. But you see, if these books worked, if they actually were able to do what they said and make you spiritually rich, what would you have gained? Well, nothing. Worse than nothing. You would have proven that the kingdom of heaven did not belong to you. You would have disqualified yourself. For Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit means to have no spirituality of your own. It means to be spiritually destitute, spiritually bankrupt. And if God's description of you is accurate, and we find it all through Scripture, you were dead in your sins and trespasses, you were separated from God and incapable of desiring to even make peace with God. If this description of you is accurate, if by the working of the Holy Spirit you are able to admit that you are spiritually bankrupt, then Jesus is speaking to you when He says, "The kingdom of heaven is yours." Now you see, many people think that a saint is a very spiritual, very holy person who has somehow, through a lifetime of good works, accumulated so much good will from God, they've accumulated so much merit, that you can actually pray to these saints and maybe some of their extra merit will spill over onto you. The whole world is trying to climb the spiritual ladder, but Jesus says, "Blessed are the folks at the bottom." It's no wonder that the world does not recognize the saints of God, because everything is backwards in the kingdom of heaven. The world's looking in the wrong direction. They're looking up here. But there are no saints at the top of the ladder. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Christians mourn because of sin. We mourn over our own sin. And we sorrow over our spiritual bankruptcy, and we grieve the effects of sin in our lives and in others' lives. We grieve over violence and poverty and broken marriages and families. We grieve because of disease and death. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope, for Christ has declared that those who mourn are blessed. And so we find comfort in the forgiveness of sins. We cling to the promise of the resurrection, and we trust in God's word that sin, death, and the devil have been defeated. But it's no wonder that the world can't recognize the saints of God, because the world looks at the church expecting to see successful, happy people, and instead it finds poor, miserable sinners. We don't look very blessed, but Jesus declares that we are, and His word makes it so. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." To be meek, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is to be deficient in spirit and courage. We have no good apart from Christ. We are beggars. We are wholly dependent on His grace. We look to Him as dear children look to their dear father, expecting everything from Him, for we have nowhere else to turn. And yet the world mocks humility. It scorns meekness. But God has chosen what is foolish to the world to shame the wise. God has chosen what is weak in the world's eyes to shame the strong. It's no wonder that the world doesn't recognize the saints of God. The world did not even recognize God Himself when He hung on the cross in ultimate humility and meekness. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." No one hungers when he's full. You don't thirst when you just drank. To hunger and thirst for righteousness means that you don't have any. and you need it. For as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And if this passage from God's Word describes you, then you are blessed indeed. For Jesus says, those who hunger will be filled. Jesus gives His water of life to you who thirst. He gives His bread of life, His own body, to those who hunger. And then it is no wonder that the world does not recognize the saints of God, for the world has no regard for the gifts of Christ. The world despises baptism. The world calls the body and blood of our Lord nothing but a symbol. And sinful man, instead of turning to the gifts of Christ, fills his belly with the husks of his own works for righteousness. But Jesus says the full will be sent away empty. He did not come to save the righteous, but to those who have no righteousness of their own, to you, saints, Jesus gives His righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. As a Christian, because the Holy Spirit now lives in you, you can't help it but be merciful. Because you were forgiven much, you love much. It's who you are. Your sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus. Your heart was washed clean. It was made pure. And so this promise is yours. You will see God. And so we hold fast to this promise that even though, as Job says, though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God. My eyes will behold Him, and not as a condemning judge, but as my loving Father. And so as Christians, we live to proclaim this peace that Christ won on the cross to the world. We are peacemakers. And yet, for all our trouble, the world will only hate you. And so we endure the scorn and hatred of this world, which is passing. We endure it with all patience and long-suffering. For Jesus has one final promise, one final blessing for His saints. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. It's no wonder that the world cannot recognize the saints of God. In fact, Jesus promises not only will the world not know you, because it did not know Him, the world will hate you. This is a promise. If you believe that God's Word is true, then you will be marked as a scientific imbecile by this world. Because you decry the murder of our unborn children for the sake of convenience, you will be labeled a fundamentalist who hates women. And because you hold to God's definition of His own creation, marriage, you will be called a homophobic bigot. But Jesus calls you blessed. You will be reviled and slandered. All manner of evil things will be spoken against you, but rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Count it a great joy to be in that number of blessed saints who will stand before the throne of God forever. This is who you are. You are saints. And Jesus calls you blessed. Rejoice and be glad, for the kingdom of heaven is yours. Amen. Please stand for prayer.
Printed in your news and notes, we also remember Linda Mollock, Good Shepherd member, who had a fall this week and is in rehab. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be sacrificed daily to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Linda and all those who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, we thank and praise you for safe, free, and fair elections. We beg you, O Lord, that you would be with all those who have been placed into office by the will of the electorate yesterday. We beg you, O Lord, that you would be with all these servants of the people, that they would serve your this country and may faithfully adhere to your will. Lord, in your mercy, grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. Lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and to answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please pass it along and sign in. If you're a guest or a visitor, we're glad you're with us tonight. We ask that you provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us tonight. At this time also, we receive our gifts and our offerings. The service of the sacrament is found on page 208. We stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. By faith the saints of old held fast to your promise of things hoped for, though not yet seen, leaving an example and encouragement for us who walk now by faith and not by sight. Grant that we may faithfully eat and drink this holy supper of your Son's body and blood, and in the union of his mystical body, the Church, be joined in unending praise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and all the faithful prophets, the blessed apostles and evangelists, the holy martyrs, and all the saints in glory who fought the good fight of faith before us. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The Common Doxology.
Grayson.